Fred Film Radio, Berlin International Film Festival, Germany.
Fred Film Radio, this is Chiara Nicoletti from the 71st Berlinale. I'm in company of Carlos Alfonso Corral, director of Dirty Feathers. Welcome. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
So first of all, Carlos, how would you describe Dirty Feathers?
I would describe it more as an experience rather than a story. I think it's an experience for connection, human connection, a longing of the sense of belonging somewhere, like the lack of it, if anything, the lack of human connection and communication and empathy.
I read that the starting point for you was the death of your paternal uncle, who had lived a pretty difficult life. But how did you, from that, how did you decide to make it a film, to make a film out of it?
Let's say. Yeah, that was a big impact on my life to see kind of like the misfit of the family, since he was an alcoholic, you know, and growing up like that, it was difficult. And it's easy to be embarrassed by a family member who's an alcoholic. So this embarrassment, this like almost shying away of a person that's family intrigued me a lot, because just because of their difficulties of what they're going through, we endow this like judgment, and it's prejudice too as at the same time. So I wanted to explore this lack of communication, this lack of connection with someone just because of their difficulties. It's not so much that they're imposing these difficulties on us. It's that they're going through something, and I think we should support them rather than just sit back and judge, you know? So I saw that there was a grander scale of that in the streets of every city I visit. You always see homeless communities, and the fact that, yeah, it's just being ignored. And again, my own prejudice is too, like, you know, a homeless person can walk up to you and you feel this discomfort. And I wanted to break that barrier and immerse myself in this community and learn something from this community.
How did it become so, the story of these people? And how did you find the right balance between, you know, the necessity of giving a direction to the film and the magic, let's say, of being carried away by these people's stories and testimonies?
Yeah, so I didn't have any previous, like, prevision of what the film would look like or what it would look like. And that was precisely why I decided to approach it in this way, was to find something together with them. It was beautiful and remarkable that Brandon, the protagonist of the film, actually came up to me while I was trying to cast the film, and he became a huge collaborator, a creative collaborator. He knew what my intentions were. He knew that I was there to be in service of them. And so he introduced me to his family from the streets, and and he started giving me ideas and he started showing me the way. So it was more of a journey than a preconceived idea. And we both agreed on the same thing, that, you know, it's not going to be a report, it's going to be an experience. We need to show their experiences. And I think the main important thing was presence, and to be able to, you know, give them time and sit there instead of just 30 seconds of like, hey, tell me your life story and move on. It had to be an experience.
And I have to say, there are so many moments in which I even felt like crying. And no, I even actually I cried in a moment, I have to say. It seems easy, but it's very difficult to get this connection with a person in order to have them tell you the real truth about themselves. So how did you make it possible? And that sort of reminded me of the ability of Roberto Minervini's work, who you worked with. So I wanted to know about this more.
Yeah, I mean, I owe a great deal to Roberto because he's my mentor, and working with him, more than actual cinema, like the technicality of it, like, you know, photography and all that, I learned more of what was going on when the camera wasn't rolling, which was this experience, which was very cathartic. Like, everybody learns from each other, and this openness, this kinship that evolves during the filmmaking process. And so, yeah, it was like almost exercising the language of human connection, of feelings. And, you know, my sensories were at an all time high. So after so many years, and the process of Roberto is that he films for long periods of time, I began to develop these emotions and this language of being able to communicate empathically with these characters. So immediately it's always listening to them and always allowing them to express themselves freely. And once they know that I'm listening to them, they begin to trust you. And so, yeah, they've been dying to speak out about their experiences and why they've found themselves in this situation. So it came rather easy, taking them very seriously. Yeah, they were able to trust me. So I guess that's how it was easy, in a way, was to just be there.
Did you realize that, you know, afterward, there's sort of a sub-narrative in the film? I mean, that it explores also the contradictions of modern society. I mean, these people, they're very, they were sometimes let down by the country they love, and still they never say something bad about it.
Yeah. I mean, there is one character, the 60-year-old man, who kind of expresses his hate towards the government and Trump especially. But I guess what you're talking about is the veteran, right? Under the bridge, who served the country. Yeah. I mean, it's remarkable. Most of the veterans, because it's very common, it's very common, especially here in America, that they're forgotten and even though they've given their all to serve the country, you know. But it's so bizarre that they don't comment so much as to, like, you know, well, don't you feel forgotten or abandoned? Like, they seem to be not okay with it, but they seem to not comment on that. And it's true. I think these contradictions are, I think they're there for that same reason of abandonment and forgetfulness. I mean, it's the fallacies of a system, basically. I think it's the result of the fallacies of a system that forgets people. And
I have to say that I was very attracted, like, fell in love cinematically with Ashley, and I read that you thought about doing a documentary about her. She felt like a pixie to me or something. It was like she was sort of floating through the film. I don't know how to explain it, but
that's the way I was explaining it when I was working on it. I would love to have that sensation that she was hovering over the film. And yeah, I was super intrigued on her, first of all, because she was so young. Second is she's a girl, which is a million times harder to be a female homeless. Like, you know, a lot of people take advantage of her, and, you know, you're prone to get sick easier being a woman in the streets. But unfortunately, I wasn't able to film a lot with her because her relationship was pretty violent. And but at the same time, I think it all worked out. It was great that the only time I did have with her was enough for her to be all throughout the whole film. And yeah, in the end, it worked out. But definitely, that was my main interest, was when I saw her, because, you know, there's just so many characters. Some people are struggling to get out. Some people don't like to be there. But she seemed to find some kind of balance there. She seemed to have only found her true family in the streets, you know, which was, I admire that a lot. I admire her strength as well. Like, she has such strength to be enduring all these difficult situations in such a harsh reality.
Was it your intention to also create a sort of invisible connection between the audience and these characters, because personally I felt that I wanted to know more of what happened next. I don't know, it was like a sort of inevitable cliffhanger, you know?
Yeah. In a way, yeah, because I think that's how it is in real life. Like, you know, everybody just passes by them and they'll always be there in that same corner. And then sometimes they're not. And you wonder, well, what happened to them? And I think I wanted to leave it open to have a discussion about it, you know, to know that there's no enclosed plot for these lives. It's ongoing, and it's been ongoing for I don't know how long, but it seems to be just happening and happening and getting worse, if anything, especially here in Los Angeles and Skid Row. It's become its own little city now, with the tents and everyone living in the street. But yeah, I left it open for that reason, is to let's talk about this. Like, let's remember, let's not forget. Like, these people are going through so much. So I that's the main reason, was to leave an open dialogue.
One last curiosity. I read that you decided to shoot in black and white because you said, and I'm quoting you from your press notes, you wanted to avoid endowing superficial meaning with color. Could you tell me more about it?
Yeah, I just thought color, I mean, there's just so much at play with color. Like, there's a lot of symbolism behind color. And there's a whole spectrum of things. But I wanted to be able to somehow connect all the characters in this landscape. And I think black and white served that. And to also amplify the reality that they're living in. And in some way, I find myself thinking that the only color in the film is the hearts of these characters. It's like Ashley's voice or their sense of wonder, I think, is what colors the film. And yeah, and you know, I'm a bit optimistic, but hopefully what happens between the film and the audience member, that's the color, maybe. I don't know. that's the way I was interpreting that feeling.
Thank you so much, Carlos.
No, thank you.
For being with us on Fred and for Dirty Feathers.
Thank you.
I really like the film.
And we've been talking to Carlos Alfonso Corral, director of Dirty Feathers, screening at the 71st Berlinale in the Panorama section. And this is Chiara Nicoletti for Fred, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.